Welcome to an episode of Capital Connection. As always, I'm your host, Matt Calder. We're glad to have you here on the show with us today. Today, we are going to be doing something a little different. And we're going to be doing what I'm going to kind of call a series of a show, maybe two shows, maybe three shows, but shows really highlighting the people of the Civitas Institute, sort of a who we are, who they are show. You know, who is the Civitas Institute? And this is kind of going to talk about the backgrounds, the various backgrounds of the people in the Civitas Institute, but more also about what is personal or what projects does Civitas do that is personal to the people in the office. And to kick that off, we're going to start with a segment from Brian Balfour, Executive Vice President of the Civitas Institute, and then also a segment with Ray Notestein, an editor for the Civitas Institute. But before we get to that, of course, I want to mention again that the show is sponsored by the Civitas Institute. Everything that is done over here at Capital Connection is sponsored by the Civitas Institute. And then also want to make a mention of the social media for the show while I've got you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at NC Capcon. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or you just search Capital Connection and you'll find the show. Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and keep up with what's going on in the show. And if you're listening to the show on the radio, we're glad to have you sitting down at that time on the weekend and getting in front of your radio, or maybe you're in the car on that time. But I want you to know there was an easier way to get the show, and you can actually get it on your phone, on your devices, if it's a tablet or whatever it is. You can download the show using one of the many podcasting apps available. There's Podcast Addict if you're an Android user, it's for free, but if you're an Apple user and you have Apple Podcasts on your phone or your device already, and you just go and search Capital Connection, you can subscribe to the show. It comes to your device automatically. You don't have to worry about it. It just shows up on your phone, and it's incredibly easy. So if you're listening on the radio, or if you're listening on the website, freemagazinenetwork.com, I want you to go ahead and subscribe to the show, because then, again, it's just going to be very easy for you. You're going to be able to go in and not have to hunt it down or be at the radio at a certain time to hear it. You'll just have it available for you. But that is not to discount the website itself, freedomactionnetwork.com, because while there's a couple weeks worth of archives in the app, there is a ton of stuff, over 200 plus shows or more on the website. The entire archives of the show under the old name of What Matters in North Carolina, under the current name of Capital Connection, under any future name will be there on freedomactionnetwork.com. That's just the place to find it. You go hunt through, check out some of the shows you heard in the past you want to hear again. If you're a newer listener, go back and see what you've missed. And again, that's freedomactionnetwork.com. So without any further ado, we'll get to our segment with Brian Balfour. So Brian, thanks for coming on the show and kind of agreeing to do this sort of who we are show that I'm, you know, putting together and working on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
So I've already, you know, kind of said before, but, you know, having you on now, this is sort of just to be putting, you know, the face to the Civitas Institute, to the organization, and kind of talking about the people behind the policy. And you, of course, being the executive vice president now, you've been the, you know, director of policy. Well, before that, I think you were something else.
Policy analyst before that. Mm-hmm.
Policy analyst. You've had a long history now at Civitas. How many years?
11 years, actually. Hard to believe.
So one of the longest, one of the definitely, or maybe now the longest.
Yeah,
serving.
longest serving current staff member.
Right, and kind of tell us a little about what your background is, and then what brought you into politics in general. Not even necessarily Civitas. We'll get to that, but kind of your background a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I come from primarily an economics background. I received, back when I lived in Michigan, a graduate degree, master's degree in economics from Wayne State University. And that really was kind of my entry point, if you will, to into politics. Just, you know, as you gain more of an understanding of basic economics and how it applies to public policy, you start to see, you know, a lot of mistakes that are being made in the public policy arena, a lot of economic fallacies that are being followed by politicians and the political class, and you start to see the damage that it does, especially to the poor. You know, any time that there's policies that reduce the or slow the growth of the economy, the poor are, of course, the hardest hit. So that was really my entry point, and then from there, You know, you start to study other aspects of politics and government in general, and just dive into a lot of the philosophical debates about the proper role of government in society. So that was really my approach. And as you said, I've been to or working here at Civitas for 11 years now, and you know, really enjoy every day being able to come to work and discuss some of these ideas that I am passionate about and really believe would help make North Carolina a better place.
And sort of those ideas that kind of give you, you know, the ideas you're passionate about, does that really settle into your background in economics, or is there other areas that you like to kind of focus in on, or is it really just a zeroed in there?
Yeah, I think a proper economic way of thinking really equips someone with analytical tools to evaluate public policy. You know, one of the most important of that, of course, being, you know, the concept of trade-offs, and going back to Frederick Bastiat and his discussion of the seen versus the unseen. I mean, it's very easy when you're talking about public policy to see, oh, these are the people that are helped by this policy. You know, they're the recipient of some benefit or what have you from government. But then you've also always need to be cognizant and thinking about, you know, the unseen. You know, what's that trade-off? What is being given up? And what's the, you know, what's the downside? And when you can start to apply that not just to economic or fiscal policies, but other policies as well, when the government is encroaching on the freedoms and liberties of individuals, I think that lens really helps equip you to understand that, you know, as government grows and increases its size and scope, freedom necessarily recedes. And that's always something that we need to be diligent about and fighting against.
All right. And then, so you grew up in the North. You went Wayne State. Where is Wayne State?
In Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Michigan. And what got you to North Carolina? What got you down here? And then, involved in state politics here?
Yeah, well, first part of that answer is the cold winters up north. They get really long and really cold, and the older you get, it seems like the colder each winter is. So I'd been kind of looking to move to more moderate, warmer climates, to be honest, as part of that move. And North Carolina was definitely on a short list. And so after I had finished up my master's degree in economics, I spent a year actually in D.C., with the program. I had a foundation there, and then as that was finishing up, Civitas was actually still almost in its infancy at that time, and they were adding at that time a fiscal policy position, and that really lined up with my background and interests at the time, and so things worked out. Timing and the opportunity worked out for me, and 11 years later, here I am, still at Civitas, executive vice president, and a lot has changed in the state in the last 11 years as well.
Right. It seems like things have definitely been progressing forward here with you and also in the state progressing forward with moves in, 2010, the legislature changing over to Republican control and a lot of different, really, fiscal policy has been a huge part of the transition in the last 8 years in the state government. So really, this has been a good time for a policy, an economic policy person to be in North Carolina. I'm sure you've seen a lot of stuff that you like and have been really busy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say, certainly the two biggest wins, if you will, from a conservative standpoint in the last 7-8 years with the new leadership has been, of course, fiscal policy, in particular the tax reforms, especially 2013, major tax reforms where we saw significant reductions in the personal income tax and North Carolina, vaulted up in the rankings, for example, the Tax Foundation's competitiveness index. I think we were about 44th at the time of the reforms, and now we're up in the, I believe, in the top 15. And the results have been exceptionally positive in terms of job growth, economic growth, and so forth, income growth. And then beyond that, I would say the other biggest accomplishment has been the expansion of school choice. Today, there's there's hundreds, actually thousands of kids now being able to go to schools that they choose, that their families and the children, the students choose to go to, that without these programs that have been passed and implemented over the last years, these kids simply would not have been able to take advantage of that opportunity. And I think that's something worthy of celebration.
All right. And this is sort of a similar question, maybe an alongside question, but what does Civitas do, or what has Civitas done that really stands out to you personally, that really matters to you on a personal level or on your professional focus level, you know, economics, and you're passionate about that. But what does Civitas do or has done that you're passionate about?
Oh, wow. Gosh, that's a great question. I mean, to try to narrow it down, one thing in particular that I put a lot of work into is actually an educational app. It's based on the Austrian School of Economics, which is, some people are probably familiar with it, but I think that's the truest form of free market economics that anyone can study. It's the way I wish I was taught economics, actually, instead of the way it's taught in a lot of academics settings. And I've been pleasantly surprised. It's been downloaded thousands of times across, more than a dozen different countries that I've been tracking the downloads and everything over the last couple of years since it's been put out. And that's just, I think the ideas contained in that is something that I'm really passionate, kind of traces back to my economic roots. And, I just really want to try to share those fundamental principles and taught in a way that I wish I was taught. It's not dry, statistical models and everything. It really boils down economics down to flesh and blood, human beings making choices in a world of scarce resources. And I've been really pleasantly surprised and really thrilled and excited to have the opportunity to put that together and to see kind of the success of that over the last few years.
Right. And I know that was a project that when I got here a few years ago was in its infancy then, and now coming through to completion. I remember the staff meetings and that was always coming up, and it was, and I've had the app before on a past phone. And so I'm one of the downloads.
Well,
I'm definitely one.
And it's free, by the way, if anyone's listening is interested in it,
which is a terrible, terrible economical to put work into something and then give it away for free. Right. Isn't that anti economic principle, right? An antithetic economic principle, maybe.
Oh, not at all. There's psychic gain to be had from putting something out there that you're passionate about and want to share with others. There's financial gain, there's psychic gain, and both of them actually do make up that economic decision making matrix.
Okay. And one kind of last question: what are you excited about going forward? What are you excited about that you're doing now or working on to push out now? What's next?
Kind of sticking with the educational theme and economics, I've actually been fortunate enough to partner with the Thales Academy, which is a growing private school, chain of private schools around Raleigh. And I designed, based somewhat on the content of the app actually, but designed a high school economics course. It actually kicked off this last school year, which just completed. There was between two of the schools, there was, I think, between 65, 70 students. Studying that, I put together the content for them, for the class, and I've been communicating with the teachers of the class and monitoring the progress and everything, and just really thrilled and excited to be able to reach young people with this sort of message and free market economic principles that's really going to equip these young students with a lens to view public policy and how the economy works. And certainly if they go on to college and take any economic courses, they'll be able to see through some of those Keynesian fallacies that they're going to unfortunately be taught in a lot of college classes. So I've been really thrilled, and I'm looking forward to seeing that that grow as well.
All right, well, thank you for coming on and kind of sharing your personal connection to the things that Civitas does.
Yeah, well, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Ray, thanks for coming on the show.
I'm glad to be here, Matt.
So if people have been tuned in now, they know that we're kind of doing a sort of a who we are of Civitas segment or a few segments, and digging down into the different the people of Civitas and also some of the things that Civitas does that are important to those people. And in that vein, of course, we have you. You're Ray Notestein, editor at the Civitas Institute. And to start off, just kind of give us a little bit of your background, because you have a pretty different background from what we've talked about in the past. And go ahead and kind of talk about your education, what you've done in the past, and what kind of led you to Civitas.
Sure. One of the great things, my dad was an Air Force pilot, so I was able to live a lot of places, not just in this country, but around the world. And when I lived in Egypt, my dad worked for the American Embassy, and that was a really cool assignment for him and just for myself to just experience different parts of the world. And then we moved to Mississippi, and I've always been interested in politics and policy to some degree, and went to up to college at Ole Miss, enjoyed that whole lot, great football, great just atmosphere. After that, I worked for a congressman for a year, Gene Taylor, conservative, blue dog Democrat from Mississippi. Who's no longer in the House, but was for quite a long time, I think almost 20 years. And after working for him for a year, which was a great experience, I went to seminary in Kentucky and studied theology in divinity school. And I was thinking seriously about going into ministry, and I've done some ministry work, but I started writing a lot and writing for an organization in D.C., and writing about theological issues and just sort of controversies in the church. And that really sort of harnessed my writing even to an even greater degree, and worked at the Acton Institute for 7.5 years on the editorial side up there. Did a lot of speaking, did a lot of writing, kind of that intersection between really focusing on the intersection between free market policy and Christian theology for the most part. And at that time, just began reading more and more. I mean, I've always loved to read, and so certainly reading about the founders and reading a lot of those Liberty Fund publications have been very beneficial to me in terms of shaping my worldview. And after I got married, my wife and I, we thought seriously about moving to North Carolina. We both she used to live in Raleigh, and you know, I always enjoyed coming to North Carolina. So we moved to North Carolina, worked at North State Journal for a while upon moving here, and also just did a lot of editorial writing there and really got up to speed on a lot of North Carolina issues, and then came over to Civitas, had the opportunity to come over here. And one of the things I enjoy about Civitas is I think that there's just so much potential in this organization to reach people all across the state at a grassroots level, and not just at a theoretical level like some think tanks make do, but I think to really to reach a larger, broader audience and help to mobilize and educate a broader audience on the importance of liberty, the importance of free markets, the importance of really a free society to help humanity flourish, to help the citizens of the state, you know, not be encumbered by state control or government control, and really allow citizens to flourish through their own freedoms.
Right, and it kind of, I mean, you've got a lot of different things to unpack there in the military background, the way you've moved around and seen so much of the world and other cultures, though, really. You're talking about Egypt was what you mentioned, but other cultures, which a lot of people don't see, gives you a perspective of America, gives you a perspective of what we have here that other people don't, that I think is really interesting. And then, of course, after that, the seminary background. You know, there will be, you know, someone like me who's gone to church for their entire life, have gone through, you know, a few different things, Sunday school, but I've never taken that deep, deep dive that going through seminary would give you, that knowledge base. So there's a lot of really interesting pieces that come together now. And I guess my question is, how do those really combine for you here? How does the seminary inform, you know, what you do here? How does your cultural world knowledge inform what you do here on you know, a smaller scale?
That's a great question. I think the seminary degree helped a lot in terms of it just gives me a very broad educational background. And one of the things that I think it really helps me in, specifically for Civitas, is not just this broad educational background, because it's a long program. I mean, for most people, it's a Master of Divinity degree, 3.5 years. And so, you know, it's an almost like a super add-on to a liberal arts degree. And I think one thing that it really gives me here is thinking not so much about liberty or a freedom from a materialistic worldview that you often see the left, but even some on the right do this, right? I mean, they only look at freedom from an economic benefit perspective, or they only look at it as a way to possibly make more money, or to you know, just have more liberties to do whatever you want. But I think from a theological perspective or underpinnings of Christianity, you look at freedom in a more holistic level and saying, hey, you know, there's a responsibility. This is how the founders looked at freedom. There's a responsibility that comes with freedom in terms of moral virtue, in terms of shaping your character to be the best person you can, to be a citizen so that a republic can survive, to be a responsible and moral citizen, in sort of doing not necessarily what you want to do, but what you really ought to do, what you are called to do. And I think, too, from a vocational perspective, I mean, the Christian reformers talked a lot about, you know, to be involved in Christian ministry, you don't have to be a priest, or you don't have to be a minister, or you don't have to be involved in a ministerial vocation, so to speak, but you're involved in those areas in whatever aspect of vocation that you're in. So that extends to whatever you're doing, or whatever your vocational calling is, whether it's in the home or whether it's outside the home. You know, Abraham Kuyper, Reformed theologian, talks about, you know, he claims the whole world for Christ. So there's an aspect of that to it as well, in terms of thinking holistically about freedom and human freedom specifically. And I think, too, just getting back to that materialist perspective, to try to bring a moral argument to grounding of arguing for more freedom and liberty, and that it's not just about, hey, I want more money, or I want more tax cuts for myself, from a more sort of selfish economic perspective, and even while those things are good for the economy, but you know, having more capital allows you to do good things with your capital and to help other humans flourish and to invest in ways that promotes human flourishing across the board.
All right. And so, going a step further, what is there that Civitas does that's personal to you? So, I mean, of course, you come here, you know, you come here every day, you go into work, but, and you do your job. So you have a professional life and what you professionally do at Civitas. And it doesn't have to be something you even work on necessarily, or have such a great, such a large hand in, but what does Civitas do that is personal to you?
Yeah, I think the big thing, when I just sort of look at that from a big perspective, and I've already kind of mentioned this, but I think helping people, inspiring people to understand in a greater depth to what it means to, you know, consist of a free society, to have freedoms unencumbered by the state or federal government, and to grow human freedom to such a degree that I think it inspires people to be the best that they are and what they are in themselves. But it also gives people, you know, a broader, a greater argument to help protect our liberties. Because I think one of the things that we need to really understand in this country, and I think what Civitas can and does well, is remind people about the limits of government, because the sphere of government is limited. And that's something that I think we've all missed, or is decaying in society, that we don't understand that there are things that are above government, like, right, God is above government. There's eternal things that are above government, of course, but also the human person. I mean, this is the whole thing about the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson talks about the person being above government. They are elevated above that sphere. And so I think that's important to think about from a philosophical and sort of a moral philosophical perspective, that the sphere of government is limited. And I think helping the people understand that, that a government can only do so much. It's not, you know, I think a lot of people today think, you know, we look to government for our rights. We look for government to tell us what to do. I mean, we got people in the streets marching to take away rights of other citizens. And when we do that, we kind of diminish the human person and make them sort of a materialist cog in the wheel, so to speak, of what government is mandating or doing, when really we're the ones that are in charge of government. We are the government, of course. And I think the understanding that the sphere of government is limited, but the people's power over government is not limited, and that's what the founders did. And I think just getting back to the notion of the founders is so important, because we have a federal government that's completely out of control, you know, over $21 trillion in debt, and we're not going to change that with political arguments alone. We have to have a cultural change and to understand that fundamentally, as a human person, in our core being, instead of just sort of doing it in politics alone. Politics is not the only way to change things. I mean, it's a vehicle or mechanism to change things, but it has to be a broader change in culture, I think, to really have a transformational change in this country.
All right. And so what going forward do you hope to accomplish, or what are you working on now? What's going on for you at Civitas right now?
Sure. One of the things is just to write more. You know, I'm bogged down a lot with publication work, with the Capital Connection in print. And one of the things that I'd like to do is create more original content, which we're starting to transition to. You know, I have an idea of bringing in someone from the Federalist Society or someone with Federalist Society leanings to talk about our new Supreme Court nominee. But bring in more outside writing, too, to Civitas, more experts, interviews and things like that. And also possibly, hopefully in the future, some storytelling and feature articles where it's not just maybe an opinion piece or just a news piece, that we're delving into all aspects of life here in North Carolina. So just a broader conversation going on. And I think, too, to create more interaction within our publications in terms of, you know, maybe people can submit questions on polling or things like that, just to be more involved in Civitas instead of just, you know, just digesting news or just reading something and taking that in, but to be a little bit more interactive. And I love to write, so that's always a challenge. I mean, you know that, Matt, in terms of editing and writing, is it's always a challenge because I love writing so much, but sometimes there's only so much time to write. But there are a lot of projects I would like to write more on for Civitas, and so I'm working on some of those things now too.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on and giving us a little quick look at your background.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone who was on the show with us today. Thank you to everyone who tuned into the show today. And we're glad to have you. I want to make one more mention before we get out of here. The show is sponsored by the Civitas Institute. Everything that is done over here at Capital Connection is sponsored by the Civitas Institute. Follow along the social media. Keep up with what's going on the show. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at NCCapCon. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or you just search Capital Connection, and you'll find the show. Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and keep up with what's going on the show, outside of just listening to the show. And that's all at NCCapCon, NCCAPCONN. Make sure you're going to the website, catching up on those episodes you missed, or maybe the ones that you're a newer person who's come to the show, and you want to see what you've missed. There's a lot of stuff there, ton of great evergreen content, great shows to listen to give you some context about North Carolina politics. There is a ton of stuff, 200 plus shows or more on the website, the entire archives of the show under the old name of What Matters in North Carolina, under the current name of Capital Connection, under any future name will be there on freedomactionnetwork.com. That's just the place to find it. You go hunt through. Check out some of the shows you heard in the past you want to hear again. If you're a newer listener, go back and see what you've missed. And again, that's freedomactionnetwork.com. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already. And if you're listening to the show on the radio, we're glad to have you sitting down at that time on the weekend and getting in front of your radio, or maybe you're in the car on that time. But I want you to know there was an easier way to get the show. And you can actually get it on your phone, on your devices, if it's a tablet or whatever it is. You can download the show using one of the many podcasting apps available. There's Podcast Addict if you're an Android user, it's for free. But if you're an Apple user and you have Apple Podcasts on your phone or your device already, and you just go and search Capital Connection, you can subscribe to the show. It comes to your device automatically. You don't have to worry about it. It just shows up on your phone, and it's incredibly easy. So if you're listening on the radio or if you're listening on the website, freedomactionnetwork.com, I want you to go ahead and subscribe to the show, because then, again, it's just going to be very easy for you. You're going to be able to go in and not have to hunt it down or be at the radio at a certain time to hear it. You just have it available for you. If you're listening on the website exclusively, you're listening on the radio exclusively, go to subscribe and get it to your device automatically. But however you are listening to the show, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.